sermon text is the fourth chapter of the Epistle Hebrews, verses 12 and 13. Indeed, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. This is the word of the Lord. Dearly beloved, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we come to you this morning in our worship, we come waiting to hear your word, the word that is sharper than any two-edged sword. Help us, Heavenly Father, to let the word become a part of us, that we live by it, study it, and know what it has to say to each and every one of us. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you like to have surgery? I didn't see any hands. Now, why is that? Why don't we like to have surgery? Well, if we're going to have surgery, it must mean there's something wrong, correct? There's something wrong with us that needs corrected, and surgery is what will do it. That's one reason. But another reason is we don't want to have pain. Each of us has a different threshold for pain. Some have a high, high threshold. And some, if they have a hangnail, they're bemoaning the fact because that's painful. Those are reasons why we don't want to have surgery. But let's stop and think about the positive side of surgery. If indeed there is something wrong, don't you want it corrected? Of course you do. I do. Anybody would. And surgery might be that one thing that can correct whatever is wrong with us. Well, today we are going under God's scalpel. When he talks to us about the Word of God. The Word of God is living and active. Living. This book is alive. The Holy Spirit speaks through this book. The book points us to Jesus Christ as our living Lord and Savior. Thus the Word is alive. And we see that most in Jesus Christ. Isn't Jesus the Word incarnate, the Word made flesh? He is alive. He is well. Yes, he came to this earth. Yes, he suffered and died on Calvary's cross. Yes, he rose from the dead as conqueror of sin, death, and the devil, and opening the gates of heaven to us. But he is alive today, not just in heaven, where he intercedes for us, but he's right here today in our worship. Isn't that what Jesus promises? Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So he's here. He's alive. Plus, he's also right here in our hearts. He's the one who fills the void that is in our life. He is the one who sits on the throne of our heart as our King. He's the one who keeps us alive in our daily living for Jesus Christ and serving his church. So the Word is alive, but it's also active. It's amazing how powerful the Word of God is in its activity. The Word of God can transform people as the Holy Spirit speaks to them through the Word. We sang Amazing Grace. Most of you probably know what kind of man John Newton was. An unbeliever, a slave trader, had no use whatsoever for Jesus Christ and the church. But the Word of God transformed him into one of the most prolific and active Christian people. He bears witness to that in those words of the hymn when he says, "The Lord has promised good to me, His Word my hope secures." God's Word. He pays homage to how the Word of God worked within him. And if it's able to change someone like John Newton, it's able to change us for the better. We may think because we come to church and that we maybe read the Bible and are active that there's nothing more. We're fine. No, there's a lot more. We're never at the perfect place we need to be. Thus, the Word keeps transforming us. In your faith journey, aren't you farther along today than you were 10 years ago, 5 years ago, a month ago, 5 minutes ago? Yes, we keep moving forward. That's the power of the Word of God that keeps on being active in our life so that we, in turn, are active in this world. The writer then says, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the joints from the marrow and discerning what is in our hearts. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? Stop and think about that, that the Word of God is able to separate the joints from the marrow and discern what is in your heart. Right now, the Lord Jesus Christ knows what's in your heart. What are you thinking about right now? What are you thinking about right now? Okay, get back to the sermon. Forget about what you're going to do later. Forget about what you were thinking. And concentrate on the power of the Word of God. Yes, I know. We all, our minds all wander when we're in church. That's the devil working. He wants us not to be concentrating on what God says. You know, the sword in the day of the Romans was a two-edged sword. The one side, they would go and they would kill people with it. A little disgusting. But the other side, is they used that as a medical instrument to help cure and comfort. And see, that's what the Word of God does. It convicts us through the law. Who in here keeps all 10 commandments perfectly? If you are, go home. You're already in heaven. You know, you're on your way because you don't have to come here now because you keep the 10 commandments perfectly. Ah, but no one got up and left, right? Because we cannot keep the Ten Commandments perfectly. Thus, the Word in the commandments convicts us of our sinfulness, right? Tells us that we are indeed lost sinners. So if we depended only on the law, we would be the most miserable of all people. But the gospel is the other side of that sword that tells us of the redeeming grace of Jesus Christ for us in this world. So the Word convicts us and it comforts us. That is powerful. That does indeed penetrate and separate the joints from the marrow. And then the last thing, that we all stand naked before God. How many of you thought about coming to church today with no clothes on? I often say this, that clothes cover a multitude of sins, and they do. We wouldn't think of, I mean, that thought wouldn't even come into our mind to come to church naked. But friends, we are naked this morning. Each and every one of us is naked before the Lord. Because as the scripture says, He knows the intent of our heart. He knows how you are and who you really are. You may put on a mask of spirituality, but your heart may be far from it. So He discerns what's in the heart, and then He says, do better. Now, I'm not going to make you do it alone. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. Do better. Do better in your service to Christ and the church. Do better in loving your fellow members. Do better in service in the world in the name of Jesus Christ. And take that word that I have given you and share it with others. If it indeed is the power to transform people, then shouldn't we be using it to help people be transformed in the name of the Lord? Then what does that mean we have to do with the Word of God? Well, you've got to study it. You're not going to know it by osmosis. You can't put it under your pillow and hope at night it goes into your head. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. You need to be into the Scriptures, reading it day in, day out. And then you've got to learn what the Scripture says. Not to quote verses to make you feel superior to others who don't know the verse. That's not it at all. It's to know it so you can go to it in the times that you need to help someone. And then it must become a part of you. Since it's a living word, it can come into you and make you alive in the Word. So that you're not ashamed to say what you believe. That your house indeed is a Lord-built house. Built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, the rock. And sharing that word and living that word will make an abundant difference in your life and in my life. So how important is the Word of God? It is living and active, transforming and discerning. Let's keep getting into the Word of God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.